Happy Friday, everyone. Welcome to Drive Through HR. Your host, Brian Wimpen, William Tintub, and Nisha, coming to you live every day talking about human resources. First of all, I want to say thank you to PeopleClose, our sponsors. Check them out, great assessment technology. And Brian is in the meeting today, so it's William and I doing the show with our wonderful guest, Sarah Williams. Sarah, welcome to the show. How are you doing?
Thank you. Thank you so much. I'm excited and glad to be here. Let's do it.
Yeah. So let's introduce yourself to the audience, and then we'll talk about what's kind of going on in your world.
Okay. Well, my name is Sarah Williams. A lot of the listeners will probably know me as Buzz Rooney, which was my pen name for my blog for the first 2 years, and I've kind of retired that. Moving into 2013, new year, new things. So that's kind of the dual identity, meshing those two is what's been happening with me. I am a human resources professional. I've been in HR for almost 15 years now, and currently I am the director of human resources for a large restaurant franchise in Raleigh, North Carolina.
My blog,
The Buzz on HR, has been going strong. It's coming up on its second anniversary in May, so I'm really excited about that.
Well, before we get to what's keeping you up at night, which we definitely will, I've got to ask about the transition from anonymity to a named to using your name, etc. Because I think accidentally, this is probably very early on, but accidentally at one point I found out your name. I think it's because we were exchanging emails and something happened. It also happened with Recruiting Animal. Ironically enough, he and I were going back and forth back in like 07, and he used one of his real email addresses, and so I could figure out his name. I never really told anybody about that, but you've moved from Buzz to Sarah. What's that been like? So first of all, why did you do it? Why did you make the choice to finally use your name, et cetera, and what's been the process for you so far?
Well, initially when I started blogging, I was working for an employer who was not very supportive of the idea. And so in order to keep those two as separate as possible, I figured I would blog under a pen name. Buzzaroonie was my nickname when I was little because I was really nosy, and my dad was like, people say, he's a talky talkerson. My dad said I was a Buzzaroonie. So that shortened to Buzz. The only people who call me that still are him and my brother. So it became kind of like the natural thing for me to do when I was looking for pen names. And then, so fast forward, here I am at a new position where they don't really care that I'm blogging. And I'm trying to do writing beyond my blog, magazine articles, books, and guestings, and moving into speaking. People really don't want a pen name. They want a person. And so I started kind of having conversations with myself, well, what am I still doing this for? Why am I still Buzz versus just being myself? And so I said, no, I'm going to close out 2012, and then after that, Buzz is dead. I'm going, with my regular name. And so, I wrote a post about that, and it was really warmly received. Everybody kind of had a, phew, about time, lady, what have you been waiting on? That was kind of the reaction that I got from most folks. A few people is still confusing because they're like, wait, Buzz is not your real name? No, that's not the name on my birth certificate or my driver's license. But it was good. It's been well received. I'm really happy with it. Buzz is still a totally acceptable thing. I respond to it when people call me that. So it's, it's not really been a huge deal, but it was important for me as I try to move forward into this new role and kind of new season of life and different things that I'm trying to do, to do that, with a name that makes sense.
Nice. from a marketing perspective, you've got some brands out there, some properties, if you will, with your Facebook and your Twitter and your blog and things like that. What's been some of the things that's maybe even some of the hardest things to kind of move, or some of the challenges that you faced in kind of moving your brand identity from one place to another?
I think Twitter was probably the most difficult one. Most of my friends on Facebook and the people who regularly read my blog, most of them had either, because I had talked with them or because of, like you said, emails and stuff like that, they already knew what my real name was. So it didn't much matter. Twitter, I think, was the biggest transition that was kind of like, wait, what happened here? Because I think 140 characters, you don't always get to build good connections with people, and you have, everybody amasses a pretty significant Twitter following, and once you do that, you kind of lose those personal touches. You have people that you interact with more, and then some people just read to see, when your next blog post comes out, and that's it. So I think that was probably the place where the transition was the most wonky, to use one of my favorite words. I try to now still keep blog stuff on my Buzz on HR Twitter, and then I have my own Twitter handle for my personal ramblings and the fact that I was watching Dallas the other night and cry like a baby over JR's funeral. Like, I don't put that on the Buzz on HR Twitter anymore. So, and some people follow me in both places, and, I'm happy about it because I think it gives everybody a full perspective, but it doesn't inundate the people who just want to be connected to my blog and connected to what I'm talking about from an HR perspective, to the fact that I'm counting down hours until scandal returns. They don't have to live in both of my worlds at the same time, so that's good.
Evidently, JR was shot again. Who knew?
He was shot and killed, and the funeral was just, I was slinging snot. Like, it was, I was like, oh my God. It was really, really great. It was great television.
If you had to do it all over again, now knowing the things that you obviously know now, would you have created a pen name and then kind of made this transition 2 years later, or would you start it out with would you recommend to others at this point to start off with their own name?
I don't think I would change how I handled it, because I feel like from the beginning I've always said this is a pen name, and some people didn't pay attention to that, but, I don't feel like I did anything that was disingenuous or insincere in how I handled it. I did what I needed to do to get my creative stuff out and stay gainfully employed. So, I can't be mad at that. I'm okay with the journey, and I would recommend to anybody who is considering blogging, who may have a employer who is not as supportive, that if you really feel the need to get that voice out there and say those sorts of things, then look at writing under a pen name, writing anonymously, whatever the case may be, to get that path that you want to be on. If you feel, life and the universe and all that stuff is calling you to something more, do what you got to do to go get it, and the rest of it will work itself out.
Fair statement. All right, let's get into what's keeping you up at night.
And I thought about this, and I was like, what is keeping me up at night? And here's the thing. I am so busy that nothing is keeping me up at night, because I'm tired as hell when the night is over. I'm, like, knocked out at, like, 9:30. So I set the DVR to tape everything. I watch it during the weekend hours because I'm tired. I sleep like a rock. But as everyone knows, I took my first director's role in October of 2012, and so now I'm about 5-6 months into this new position. I absolutely love it. I absolutely love it. But it is very, very demanding. I'm learning a new industry because I've never done restaurant before. I've been in retail, but it's a different, when you start everything that entails dealing with food and public and brand, and it's a whole different thing. So I'm learning all of that. I'm traveling more because we have locations here in North Carolina, Virginia, and Florida, and so I'm bouncing back and forth locally and then, you know, across states to be able to do that. I did a trip a couple of weeks ago. It was 19 hours, and I woke up, I flew to Florida, conducted trainings and interviews, and got on a plane and came right back. And I was like, oh, my God, I'm not built for this. So, you know, but that has kind of become my life now, and it's way different than anything that I've experienced in the past. And so while everything I've done before has kind of prepared me for this moment, it's still a shift in what it is that I'm doing and thinking. How I balance that with my writing and my friendships and, you know, everything else that goes on in my life has been the other challenge, is how do I fit this in? What is my new normal looking like? And so that's been the grind that I've been on for a while now, and I don't see it letting up, but I'm just starting to inhale and embrace it and deal with it.
What's if you don't mind, remind the audience exactly what's the company name and what type of food do you have?
We are a franchise of Yum Brands, so we have run KFC, Taco Bell's, and Long John Silver restaurants in North Carolina and Florida, mostly Orlando area and then south of Orlando. And we've got a few stores right on kind of the North Carolina-Virginia border in Virginia. And so it's a lot. I'm learning chicken and tacos and fish. It's a lot. But, you know, I really do love it, and I'm really excited about everything that I'm getting to learn and getting to do through that. But it definitely is way different because I was with an automotive franchise before, and so it's way different in terms of the clients, how often you see customers, like all of that kind of stuff has just completely changed. And so I'm learning something completely new, even though it's still HR, and HR is HR is HR, but it's a shift in the kaleidoscope. And so what's the view now that I'm looking at it through this lens?
Nice. I need to get you over to Summer Brand Camp in June, because it's actually food service, HR, and marketing together. So they basically, it's all of the audience, 300 people there, all of the audiences is HR leaders.
I remember you at Brand Camp last year, and then I remember you and Jason Lauritsen had the video and stuff that you did. It looked awesome. So I appreciate the information would be very, very helpful.
I'm going to send that to you. Yeah, he and I are going to do another bit at the next one in June. So I'm terrified and excited. But let me ask you a little bit about the things that you're shocked to learn in your first couple of months in the new job. Like you just didn't expect it, or someone didn't tell you, whatever. You just woke up one day, you're like...
I think the biggest shocker for me was that the director had no training plan. There was no one who said, here's what you're going to do and learn in your first 60, 90 days, you know. And that's kind of what I was accustomed to, being in middle HR roles where, you know, I may have had direct reports, but I still had a director or a vice president or whoever that I reported to. Well, in this case, I report to the owner. So there's nobody, you know, in between me and the rest of it. So I was probably like 3 or 4 days into it, and I went, oh, I'm just going to have to figure this out. So then I sat down in my own mind and said, what do I need to know to do the things that I'm supposed to do? What do I need to know to do the things I want to do? And where do I go to figure those things out? So I just had to make my own plan. And I don't think I was prepared for that, because I've always been accustomed to coming in and having someone there, whether it's a predecessor or whether it's whoever, who is prepared to train me in the ways of whatever. And no, that wasn't going to happen. I think now that some of that was planned, I think it was kind of, all right, let's see what this kid's going to do. But I realized within a couple of days that I was just going to have to jump into it and make my way and make sense of it as I go. And the thing about having been doing this for as long as I'm doing this, I'm not in a position where I don't know what I don't know. I know exactly what I don't know. So now it's a matter of figuring out, how do I learn the things that I don't know to be successful?
Wonderful. Well, I'm going to do a quick greet, everybody. This is Nisha, William, and Brian talking to our wonderful guest, Sarah Williams. Well, Sarah, I learned that you worked in retail industry and then moved to restaurant industry, right?
Yes.
So what are some aspects that you thought, oh, this is totally new to me, and what are the differences, specific differences that HR should know, that outside people that who are not in restaurant industry should know from, you know, from this that particular job aspect?
The biggest difference, I think, is in the industries themselves, is just the alphabet regulators, I like to call them, you know, whether it's the OSHA or whether it's, you know, whoever it is, the FDA, whoever it is, that whatever the government alphabet agency is that regulates and enforces, are, it's a little bit different. I can remember, I think it was January, I went, when do we do OSHA logs around here? And everybody's like, OSHA logs? Oh, my God, OSHA logs. We got to do OSHA logs. We've never done OSHA logs before. And I'm thinking to myself, oh, my God, we've never done OSHA logs before. And I was like, well, are we supposed to do OSHA logs? So I called my friend Steve Brown, because we all know Steve Brown works in the food industry. He's like, no, we don't do those here. And I was like, yes. But those are things that, just coming from one industry into another, in my mind, this is all very normal, but it's something that in restaurant we don't do. So I've learned some of those things. I'm thankful that I have Steve and Dave Ryan and other folks who have been doing restaurant stuff that I can call and ask them, hey, what does this look like and what does that look like and what sorts of things should I be looking out for? And the same way, you know, William has said, try look into this conference, look into that conference. They've done those same things with me. And that goes back to the importance of networking and the power of social media and the work that I've put into, you know, blogging and the connections that I've made from it, that has totally set me up to be more successful quicker in doing what it is that I'm doing now.
Well, wonderful. Well, talking about the conferences, I'm pretty excited to go to Louisiana Shrimp Conference, and I know that you're speaking there. So let's begin to your speaking engagement at Louisiana.
I am so excited and ridiculously nervous about Louisiana Sherm. I went last year as a part of the social media team, and this year I'm returning as a speaker, and I am freaked out a little bit about it because it's such a different feeling going in, knowing that I actually have to present to people who know me and then people who are expecting me to, you know, teach them something, give them takeaways that they can go back and implement, those practical wisdom nugget type of things. So the pressure of that is way different. I didn't anticipate that. I thought, oh, it's just a presentation. It's not. It's not, you know, it's not just another presentation. But I'm really super excited about it. And I'm, you know, nearing the end of putting my presentation together. I'm talking about how to be an HR super sleuth. That is my session title. It's all about how crime drama prepares you to investigate HR issues. So I'm taking stuff like Law and Order and CSI and mushing all of those sorts of things together and showing people how you can take those techniques and utilize them in your HR desk, complete with sound effects. So it's going to, you know, pictures and sound effects. So it's going to be a lot of fun. But I'm definitely nervous about it because it just feels so different from the last time that I was there. I'm working through my church here, and I have a second speaking engagement in April. We're doing a career seminar. And so I'll be helping to coordinate it and then also participating as a speaker in the event about social media and networking and trying to get the folks there to engage online, to utilize that to help them in their job search and to help them in their professional development. So that's another one. And then I'll be at HR Florida as a part of their social media team in August. And that's all I got for right now.
All right. So on the speaking side, two things. One is style, and the other is preparation. So stylistically, what do you, you know, if you could pick any persona, you've seen a lot of people present. And so is there anybody that you kind of look to and say, you know, I really like Lori's style, or I really like so-and-so's style? Like, style, I want to know. The audience cares deeply about what style you want to put out there. Secondly, what are you going to do to prepare?
Here's William Tinkup with the tough questions. Style, oof. I would definitely probably say Cy Wakeman, because seeing her speak at Illinois SHRM for me was the tipping point that said, I could do this. And so style, that was the place for me that I went, hey, I could do that. And so I think from it, because there's the hard-hitting informative stuff, there's the funny stuff, there's the pop culture references, and that's kind of, you know, that's kind of how I roll in general. So, yeah, I would definitely think that would be, you know, kind of the person that I look to. And what was the second part of that?
Preparation. What are you going to do what are you going to do to prepare?
Oddly enough, I was a shy child, and so my mom put me in acting classes when I was 7 because I just didn't like to talk to people. I was just very, very quiet and didn't like to talk to people, and if you talked to me, I would cry. So I've taken years of drama, and it's just practice. It's practice, 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 which is a big reason why I want to make sure my presentation is done so that I have the opportunity to rehearse it again and again and have good notes of what I want to say when and where and all of those kind of things. But it's just practice. I know better than to get up there and to try to wing it after, you know, do some slides, put them away. I'll just show up and I'm going to go for it. That's not going to happen. So I'll definitely, you know, visualize it and rehearsing in my living room in front of my daughter's dolls a lot of times, you know, that'll be kind of it. Line up all the princesses and say, okay, let's do this. So that's kind of what I think my approach to it will be.
Nice. Lastly, on the speaking side, 2 nuggets, 3 nuggets, 1 nugget, what do you want the audience to come away with? Do you want them to feel that she's really smart, she's really got experience, it's the 2 or 3 things that they can take back to their own desk? Like, you can't have it all. No one can. But what do you want them to walk away with?
I want them to walk away with the 2 or 3 things that they can take back to their desk and use. And I want them to not be intimidated by the investigation process. And I said this in an interview I did on HRTech.com with Christine's blog, and that I think investigations in HR is one of the places that we are the least prepared for, and it's one of the most important things that we do, is to talk to people when things go wrong, whatever they may be. We are the ones who have to talk to people, find out what happened, find out how we do to fix it. And we're so ill-prepared for that. And when that gets botched up, it exposes you to so much mess. And so if I can give people some things that they can walk away with that make them feel like they're better prepared to deal with it and avoid the messy aftermath, then I've done what I set out to do.
Fantastic. I want to ask you about writing. And in particular, you know, you've been writing for a while. You're a good writer, and you clearly kind of articulate your points. So I think when I read, you know, your stuff, I kind of get it. It's not clouded in mystery or adjectives or metaphors, the references that I don't get. What's your take on writing for free? And you know, again, I don't have an agenda or kind of a take here. Well, actually, I do have a take, but I'll try and keep it at bay. What's your take when someone asks you, hey, we love your writing, we would love to feature you on X, Y, and Z, we need X number of articles, but there's no monetary value, direct monetary value attached to that? What's your take on that?
It depends, and I've kind of taken this approach from the beginning. Well, that's not true. From the beginning, I was like, whoever wants me to write, I'm writing. Like, whatever you want me to do, because you just want, you come into it and you want that exposure. Now I'm at the place where if it's not going to expose me to an audience or an area or allow me to voice a facet of my range that I don't get to do in what I normally do, then I'm probably going to turn it down. For paying opportunities, I think I look at it from who is it that's doing the asking and, you know, what can they afford to do. It's way different if Nisha asks me to contribute a piece to something that she's doing on her blog versus, like, you know, Sherm, just as an example. You know, those are two very different people with two very different audiences and two very different pockets. So that's going to determine to me what I'm looking at and expecting in terms of compensation, where that goes.
Wonderful. Well, we have about 3 minutes left. So where can people come and find you, take your autographs? Where are you going for any concert? I'm coming, definitely. You know, where are you going for the conferences? So your blog and everything.
My blog is thebuzzonhr.com, and from there you can connect with me on Facebook and LinkedIn and Twitter. I'm the Buzz on HR on Twitter as well. My LinkedIn is still Buzz Rooney, but it directs you back to my Sarah Williams one because I haven't moved everybody over yet. I'm still in the process of doing that. But you'll be able to find me in either place. It's, again, it's all merging of the two personalities. And I'll be speaking at the Louisiana Sherm Conference coming up April 8th and 9th. My session is actually on the Tuesday the 9th. So if you're, meet us in the Red Stick. We want to see everybody in Baton Rouge, and obviously follow the LaSherm13 hashtag on Twitter to be able to see all the fun posts and pictures. And I know the speaker lineup. It's just going to be a fantastic event, and great HR wisdom nuggets are going to be coming out of that hashtag. So definitely one to pay attention to. I'll be speaking locally here in Raleigh at the Watts Missionary Church on April the 20th about social media and networking, and I'll be sending information about that out on my Twitter and Facebook page, and then I'll be in HR Florida in August.
Well,
stop
wonderful.
By, say hello.
Yeah, true. Well, we have about 2 minutes more, so I have one more question to you. Well, looking back to that problem-solving aspect, so when it comes to, you know, problem-solving, we say that don't react based on anchor or think logically and take a decision and all. So what are some ways HR can go wrong while solving conflict at work?
I think sometimes in HR we take a side too quickly. You know, we hear an issue and we assume that we know the answer based on, sometimes it's the person. You know, you get those chronic complainers who come to you constantly, you know, the wind blew south by southwest and my whole world is crumbling and HR needs to fix it. And it's, you know, the employee who cried wolf and you don't want to deal with it. So you assume that you know what's going to happen. So I think sometimes we assume we've got it figured out and we take off on a course of action and we don't take the time to look at the other things that may be going on. You know, just because, what's the saying, just because I'm paranoid doesn't mean no one's following me. But just because a person is
yeah,
a chronic complainer doesn't mean that there's not a real issue there. And so it's always important for us to take the time to do the due diligence to make sure that, you know, we're looking at the complete picture and not just jumping to a conclusion.
Wow. Well, thank you so much. Yeah, thank you so much, Sarah, and a very happy weekend to all of you guys. Thanks for learning.
Thank you.
had another afternoon. My